This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would have been 89 years old today. Before his assassination in April 1968, Dr. King had been on the forefront of the civil rights struggle. A passionate advocate for freedom, equality, and justice, King's words, preserved in speeches and on video, continue to inspire people around the world.
Reggie Jackson is head griot of America's Black Holocaust Museum here in Milwaukee. He sat down with WUWM's Taryn Powell and explained that he's always been fascinated by Dr. King and what he stood for.
What's your story?
Well, little boy born in Mississippi in the segregated South, moved to Milwaukee when I was 7 years old. Was always very interested in history and kind of the implications of racism and how it affects people's lives. In the early 2000s, I went to the Black Holocaust Museum, volunteer, became one of the tour guides there, the griots at the museum, developed a relationship with Dr. Cameron, the founder of the museum, took over the griot training program, training the other griots. So I've been doing this work, doing more public presentations, you know, facilitated dialogue sessions for small groups of people, talking about race and racism and its implications. And I guess as a result of that, the last several years, I've gotten to be known by a lot more people in the city than I was before.
Would you consider the work you do to be public service? And if so, what made you pursue this career?
I absolutely consider it to be public service work. You know, I kind of look at myself as a public historian, looking at kind of contextualizing things that have happened. I always use the same phrase that I like to kind of help use history to show people how we got to where we are today. And so I use historical information to share with people how things that we see today, how they developed over the course of time. And it's really been a very eye-opening experience for a lot of people because people don't typically know the history of how things developed. And so it gives people an understanding of the institutions that help create some of the things that we see nowadays and kind of helps them to get out of this idea of looking at individuals that they can point the finger of blame at and looking at it as an institutional issue and recognizing that institutions create situations and then they perpetuate situations over the course of decades. And so that really is what I consider the most important part of work I do, is really to kind of place things in historical context so that people can get a much broader view of how things got to be the way they are today.
And why does it matter for people to understand how things became the way that they are?
Well, I think it's about solutions. You know, we talk about problems and we talk about solutions. And I think unless you understand the basis of how the problems were created, you can't really come up with any viable solutions. I think it's important to understand the agencies, the people, all of the things that help to kind of create these problems we have. If you're able to kind of understand all of those historically and see why they were put in place and how they continue to develop over time, it gives you a better idea of how are you going to attack the problem moving forward.
In what ways has Martin Luther King Jr.'s work influenced decisions you've made, either in your career or your personal life?
Well, you know, I've always been a big fan of Dr. King and his dedication to social justice work, racial justice work. And I've always admired the fact that he was a multifaceted person. Even though we tend to think of him as just this I have a dream person, he was so much more than that. And one of the things that he talked about that I think is really, really powerful was looking at how America has made promises that they haven't kept. And he talked about this during the I Have a Dream speech. He talked about this check that came back marked insufficient funds, promises that America made to its black population that they never delivered. And so I kind of look at those things too, and I look at, you know, some of the things that he fought for, you know, 50 plus years ago, and the fact that we're still working on some of those same issues today, I think is really incredible. But we look at the work that he did and others during the civil rights movement, and we talk about the progress that was made, but in some of those other things that he worked on, we haven't made the same level of progress. We've changed laws, we've made it harder for people to discriminate, but we still have discriminatory institutions, we still have discrimination playing a huge role in the lives of people. So we really have to continue the work that Dr. King started. You know, I consider the work to be an ongoing effort.
You've done extensive studies about segregation in Milwaukee and what continues to contribute to it to this day. What do you think King would say about Milwaukee's progression or lack thereof?
Well, I think that one of the things I admired about Dr. King and the way he looked at things, he looked at things in a very honest way. And he looked at, you know, things that we consider to be progress, and he analyzed those things. And I think that if you look at where we've come in Milwaukee, we really haven't made significant progress in terms of alleviating segregation. We're still a very segregated community. And one of the things that I found during the course of doing my research that really stands out, that makes Milwaukee really kind of different from many other cities, is there are a lot of other big cities that are segregated. Chicago is very segregated, Cleveland, Detroit. But what's different in those cities is that blacks have been able to escape the central part of the city and move into the suburban communities in fairly significant numbers in those communities. But in Milwaukee, it hasn't happened. So as I look at this work and the work of alleviating segregation and how Dr. King would look at it, he would say that we still have a long way to go in Milwaukee versus the progress that's made in some other places.
Bigger picture, what do you think King would have to say about the state of America?
Well, Dr. King, if he was to speak to the state of America, he would be very upset, I believe. You know, looking back on some of the issues that he talked about, 50 plus years ago, and some of the things that he talked about were major obstacles we had to overcome. One of the ones that he talked about continuously was racial animosity, racism, discrimination, and the power that that has over the lives of people. And to me, in many respects, it's as prevalent today as it's ever been. The only reason it looks different now is because it's not something that people can do as openly as they could back in the day when he was around. But I think if you look at not just the actions of people, but the results, you see that for many of us in the black and Latino community in particular, we're in the exact same position we were in for the most part in the late 60s. I was just looking recently at some numbers related to poverty. And one of the things that I've always thought about, and Dr. King talked about this, was looking at poverty in terms of its impact on young people, on children. The percentage of black children living in poverty today is still in the mid-30s. It's really 37-38%, even higher here in Milwaukee. And over the course of the last 50 years, that number has never dropped below 30% for black children. I think that Dr. King would look and say that, you know, this was a major issue that I was working on. In the years that I kind of, you know, went from the struggles trying to overcome Jim Crow segregation, this was one of the next big issues that he was working on. And I think that he would be very disappointed that we made such little progress dealing with poverty, and that he would still be working tirelessly to work on that as an issue to this day.
Is there one teaching of Dr. King that you think holds the most weight in 2018, just considering the racial tensions that still exist?
You know, if I was to point to one particular thing that Dr. King talked about, was he talked about the need for us to understand that these issues that we're working on, social justice issues, racial justice issues, that the work is being done not just for black people, it's being done for the benefit of everyone. He actually said in the original draft of the speech that became the I Have a Dream speech, he talked about the fact that those of us who do this work, we have to make people aware that this work and what we hope comes out of this work will benefit all of us as a nation. And so that would be the one thing that I think is really still an important part of what Dr. King talked about. You know, we talk about the dream that he had, but I think more importantly, we have to look back and say that he considered, you know, racial animus and racism to be the single biggest obstacle to overcoming all of these other problems. And so if we're still in a place to this day where we're still having these issues, and there's been a huge growth in the number of, hate groups in the country over the past 10 years, specifically under Barack Obama's administration, there was a huge spike. There's been an even larger spike since President Trump was elected. And so, you know, we look at these things and we have to recognize that Dr. King was right, that we have to do this for everybody. We have to figure out a way to make this work so that everybody benefits in some way, shape, or form.
And what do you think we as a society can do to continue to honor Dr. King's memory to show that neither he nor his messages of peace have been forgotten?
Well, I think the first thing we should all do is to really study his writings in more detail, really read the books that he wrote, read the speeches that he delivered. You know, we've heard the I Have a Dream speech, but most people haven't heard the entire speech. Most people have only heard the last part when he talks about the dream. And that actually wasn't even supposed to be part of that speech that he gave that day. If you go and look at the text of the speech that he wrote, it really wasn't about the dream. He added that at the end, at the behest of someone in the crowd who said, "Martin, tell him about your dream." But his primary message on that day was about this idea that we as a nation are bound to the ideals of the Founding Fathers and the promises that they made to all of us as Americans, the rights that we have as citizens, the duties of citizenship, and then the benefits of citizenship that should have accrued to everyone equally, but obviously it hasn't. So I would say that, you know, if we take the time to really study the work that he did and what he said, instead of listening to what people say he said, actually look at his words. So those messages that are less well known that Dr. King shared with us, the message about poverty and the need to alleviate that for everyone, those are the things that I think that we as Americans can take upon ourselves to study those things in more depth and really kind of pick up the mantle from where he left it and say, okay, these are things that are important to all of us. We should continue to do the work that Dr. King never finished.
Reggie Jackson is the head griot of America's Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee. The physical museum was shuttered but still exists online. Jackson says he anticipates construction to rebuild the physical museum will be done later this year.